Well, open your Bibles to Ephesians 5. Put a marker in Philippians 4. Keep those places, but we're going to start off in John 1. I've got to give you a definition in order for this to make sense. So we're going to get our definition directly from the Word. I love it when the Word defines things for us. So, you know, when Jesus says something, it removes all speculation, all doubt. You don't have to wonder about it anymore. It doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter what Webster's Dictionary says. When Jesus says it, that's it. Well, can we agree on that? Well, first off, John says about Jesus, John 1, verse 14, said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and" what? "He was full of grace and truth." Let's read on a little more. John, that's John the Baptist, bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses. But grace" and what? "Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now, I've mentioned this before, but I wanted to strike your thinking again. No one on earth knew the law of God until it came through Moses. Nobody knew. Paul writing in Romans, talking about the unsaved man. "I wouldn't have known it was wrong to covet unless your law said, thou shalt not covet." So when it says the law came by Moses, you got to know that's knowledge that was not in the earth before. Nobody knew it. You couldn't go to university and find it anywhere. So the law came by Moses, and it was new, it was revelation, something that man did not know before. So in that same vein, because it's they're coupled together in that verse, the law came by Moses. But grace, now Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Others found grace in the sight of the Lord before we have the manifestation of Jesus. But there is grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ that no one on earth ever knew anything about before. We get a little hint of it over in John 17. Be turning there. John 17. Where Jesus says, "I have finished the work that thou gave me to do." Now, what was the work? Well, there was a lot of things. But one of them, he says, look here in verse 4. John 17, 4. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Now he says several things, but come on down to verse 8. "I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." Some of this truth, you know, Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" These words that the Father gave Jesus, they contained truth that no one on earth knew before he came. Who knew a man could be born again? Who knew the plan of God, that God was going to make it possible for a person born into one species to be able to be reborn into a new species? Who had that kind of foreknowledge? Nobody knew about that. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now let's see what Jesus defines as truth. This is what I meant. If you can find where he defines it, that removes all speculation. Okay? So look at John 17, 17. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Now, before we even read the rest of it, I know you're already reading it. What does sanctify mean? Well, sanctify means you've got a group of stuff, whatever it is. In this case, it's people, all the people in the world. But somehow you're going to set apart a group. in this case, for God. You're going to set them apart, meaning they're going to be different. You will be able to tell a difference. They're not the same as. Sanctify them. And how does Jesus say, do it? Sanctify them through thy truth. And just so there'd be no doubt, look what it says. Here's the definition of truth. Thy word is truth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. No wonder Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. But now for tonight's lesson, let's just say it this way. Thy word is truth. What's the definition of truth? The word of God. You got that? The word of God is truth. Now go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:14 is where we really started this over a year ago. Now this time we're going to go a few verses beyond it. Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now in the context that he spoke that to me, I'd been having a conversation with God. I'd been having a wrestling with God. I felt like Jacob, who wrestled all night with the angel, you know, because I was wanting an answer. We had a lot of people praying for this beloved sister of ours who'd been attacked with cancer. And the whole church was praying, and then the very day she went on to be with the Lord, a lot of people were there in the room, including me and Sue and others. And she went on to be with the Lord anyway. And I've been around too long for you to start telling me, well, it was the will of God. Well, it was the timing of God. Well, it's just not always his will to heal. Excuse me, that's baloney stacked on top of baloney. You can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No. Cancer won that one. Let's just say it that way. Well, I'm tired of cancer winning. So I was asking the Lord. I was going, what are we? I mean, after all we've learned, all the prayer, all the revelation, all the change, what is the answer? And I was just agonized. Well, not, you know, I don't want you to all think, well, he was just, it was constantly before the Lord in my spirit, constantly that question. One night I had a dream after a few weeks. And in that dream, there was some unsolvable problem. And what that was, I don't even remember. It's not the issue. But I remember what he said. He said, the answer is Ephesians 5:14. So in that context is how he spoke that verse to me. In other words, the answer, well, we've got to read the verse, I guess, and then we'll talk about it. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, if you're born again, you've been quickened already from death to life. But what he was talking to me about in the light of my question was, look, it's not just the prayer center. The whole church is acting like dead men. They're not acting like my sons anointed by my spirit. They're like dead men walking, or they're like religion has put them all to sleep. And I'm calling you, if you wake up, rise from the dead, not in the sense that he hasn't already done that, but we in our consciousness, we have got to wake up, stop believing religion, and start believing the word of God, because his word is truth, and it's not going to change, and he's going to sanctify us and make us different. What do you mean different? Cancer killers. Giant killers. Whatever your giant is. And if he's going to separate us and make us that kind of people, it's going to happen one way and one way only. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have to believe this word no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what your day was like, no matter what your performance was lately. Well, let's continue on a little bit tonight. He said, well, see then, and if we're going to wake up and walk like the new creatures that we really are, the sons of the living God anointed by his spirit to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Well, you're going to have to walk circumspectly, not as fools. What? But as wise. redeeming the time because the days are evil. Has anyone noticed? I remember years and years ago when I moved to Houston right after graduating from Oklahoma State University. And in those days, and we're talking, now this will scare you. See, I graduated in 69. So 69 and 70. Houston in those days was known as the murder capital of the world. And we moved down there, and on the news, I mean, we're from little old innocent Tulsa. You know, hardly ever heard of a murder in this town in those days. We moved to Houston, and I said, oh my God, there's 1, 2, 3 murders every night. Have y'all been watching the news lately in Tulsa? Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Well, how do you do it? Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I could preach on any one of these verses, but he's after something specific tonight. Dave has taught us eloquently on these next few. But there's one little aspect he wants me to talk on tonight. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now see, I've been both. I've been drunk on liquor. I never was so much on wine, but Southern Comfort and bourbon. I know what it is to be drunk on hard liquor. I never did like beer. Give me the hard stuff. And I know what it is to be, that guy that walks into the bar, he's really Wally Cox. After about 5 shots, you know, he sees Arnold Schwarzenegger sitting at the end of the bar, and he goes, I can take him. I'm a man, look at me. Now, what's going on there? His senses have been affected by the alcohol he has consumed, and he is not perceiving reality in the light that it really exists. He's living in what Sue and I called SRA. SRA, if you don't know what that means, stands for Selective Reality Acceptance. I'm going to choose the reality that I want. Well, that's what happens. You get drunk on wine or drunk on liquor. The liquor affects your perception. Now, in that case, is Wally Cox in for a rude awakening? Oh, yeah, see. But this says, don't be drunk on wine. The analogy, be filled, or we could say almost, be drunk in the Spirit. Why would it use that kind of an analogy? Did you ever know the Spirit is called the Spirit of truth? What is truth? Thy word is truth. See, what will happen if you let the Holy Ghost have his way with you and you get into God's word? God's word by the Spirit will start having an effect upon your senses. In some ways, it's kind of like Wally Cox. In other words, it's going to change how you perceive things. But here's the amazing thing about God's word. See, God's word is truth. And the Holy Spirit is going to affect your senses where you finally start seeing things from God's perspective. You're going to finally start seeing things according to God's truth and not according to your 5 physical senses. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Gary? Well, let's go on a little more. It'll become more clear as we get down through here. Be filled with the Spirit. Well, how would I do that? Well, one way that you can do that, speaking to yourselves. Speaking to who? To yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, that's the phrase that came to me as I was getting ready for this service. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Doesn't that sound beautiful? I'm thinking the Lord would like that. Don't you think the Lord would like that if he starts looking on your heart and he finds melody to the Lord, singing praises. See, the trouble with, and most of us would go, yes, I've heard Dave's series. I speak and I sing hymns, and I'm making melody in my heart to the Lord, Brother Gary. I am. See, the trouble is, what's in your heart in abundance comes out of your mouth. Sue, have we been getting any calls this week, people wanting counseling because there's too much melody in their heart? I don't remember any calls. You know, the overflowing blessings of God are just so great they have to spill out on you for a little while. Let me talk to you for a little bit about the melody in my heart to the Lord. I don't remember. I don't remember offhand. You know, you look around the room sometimes and say, we really are the frozen chosen. It's like we've been sucking on pickle juice. And, you know. But what is this? You know, we're in Ephesians. This is not in here for no reason. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now I was going, Lord, I've been studying this book now for over a year. There's not a, I hear that. And I've heard what Dave taught us and it's all good. But I said, Lord, that you kind of changed the subject pretty quick here. He says, well, that's why I have more than one book in the Bible. He says, if you want further instructions on how to do that, the detailed instructions on that are in Philippians chapter 4. So let's go to Philippians. Now, to really understand Philippians and get the fullness out of it, you got to know Paul wrote this from prison. He wrote this letter to the Philippian church while he was in his one of his first internments in the prison at Rome. The Philippians had sent a financial offering for his ministry. They had sent it by the hands of Epaphroditus, which, by the way, they didn't have checks, Visa, nor MasterCard in those days. You had to literally carry the cash on you, which was very dangerous because they didn't normally have paper money either. So you're talking a bag of coins probably of some kind. I doubt Epaphroditus, and I studied it out one time. Half of his journey would have been by land. Half of it would have been by sea, or maybe not exactly half. But I calculated out it probably took him 2 months from the time that he left Philippi till the time he arrived at Rome. And then, you know, if you turn right around and come back, that's 4 months out of your life. I figure he didn't do that to bring a $10 offering. So it's a substantial gift, I'm sure. Risk your life to bring it. Risk peril of robbers and peril at sea. I'm not going to get into that too much tonight. But this letter is really kind of a thank you letter with some teaching and news. Paul's telling them how his affairs are and what's going on. But boy, near the end of it, and of all the letters, now Paul is writing this from prison. This has the word rejoice in it, I believe, more than any other letter that Paul wrote. In prison for not doing anything wrong. And look what he says here. Now, remember, the subject is making melody in your heart. How many of you want to be more of a melody maker in your heart to the Lord than you are now? I do. Well, here's some instructions on how to do that. So starting in Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now, in the King James, we don't talk that way today. In plain English, he's saying, don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Don't be anxious and full of anxiety about anything. But in everything, in other words, I don't care what your situation is, in everything by prayer and supplication, notice, with thanksgiving. When you make the prayer, when you do the supplicating, at that same time with thanksgiving, why would you do that? Because you believe you receive when you pray. Because you believe he heard you. Because if you prayed according to his will, you know that he heard you. And your confidence is if he heard you, then you have the petition that you desire of him. So it's always with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And if you do it that way, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, this is good. I could use some of this. Peace that passes understanding. I've meditated on that. That's when you have peace and you don't know why. That's when everybody around you says, what is wrong with them? A friend of ours the other day, I'm not going to tell you who it is, don't ask me, but knowing some of the stuff that Sue and I've been through, you know, with cancer and 8-pound blood mass and years of financial struggle and kids in rebellion and on and on. And this person knows us well enough to know all of it. Of course, all of you know us that well, I guess, now. She said, and through all of that, you've never taken a Xanax? I said, no. I don't think I ever will. But we had to learn some things. You know, I'm not against some medication if you need it, if the doctor says you need it or something, but I'm just, you don't have, if you have peace that passes understanding. Sometimes now I wake up and our circumstances are such that my own mind has an argument with me. You should be worried. Look at these circumstances and I'm going, let me, just a minute, I'll try. Can't do it. You know, after he has shown himself faithful to you about 1,000 times, even you can finally come to the point where you can go, I believe I can trust him. I think we're going to be okay. Anyway, we'll get to that more in a minute. Peace that passes all understanding. That word all is important. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, listen, peace is a prerequisite. Real peace, heart peace, mental peace. You're going to have a hard time making melody in your heart to the Lord without it. You know, you're going to have a hard time if you're full of turmoil and anxiety and worry and oh God, oh God. This has a lot to do with that ability to make melody in your heart to the Lord. So then he gives us precise, detailed instructions in the next verse. How do you do it? This is how you do it. Finally, brethren, I'm going to read it first and then I'm going to come back. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, this is a commandment, think on these things. Now, in the early days, before I knew what I'm about to tell you now, in the early days, I'm trying to understand this. And it says, it starts off going, say it exactly. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And then he says, think on these things. And I'm going, well, God, that's the problem. I've been thinking on what's true. Well, what do you mean by that? Now I'm just going to make a list, okay? Got laid off my job. I got 2 flats on the car. Dishwasher quit. Wife's upset with me. Kids are all in rebellion. The dog bit my ankle. I answer to the name of Lucky. I could go on. I could list more and more things. That's the problem. I've been thinking on all these things that are true. Let's ask Pilate's question again. Now, what is truth? What was the definition that Jesus gave, Father? See, all of those things are facts. They're facts. We don't deny facts. But they're not truth. Paul didn't say, think on the facts. He said, think on things that are true. Well, let's list them here, facts. Let's see. Now, let's just take one fact. One thing that's real common right now in America is a lot of people have been laid off their job for various reasons, you know. Well, a fact. I do not have a job and I got a family to support or whatever. Fact. All right. Now, you could think on that and keep your mind on that and then listen to, and I have to watch myself. I tend to be a news junkie too. You can turn on the news and continue to hear more facts. Yeah, not only did you get laid off, but everybody else got laid off, and your odds of getting a job are really slim. And look at all these people that's exhausted all of their unemployment, and now, they've even given up looking for a job now. And so, can't you just feel the melody rising in your heart? The more you think about those facts. See, but let's think about truth for a minute. What does the Word say? Let's start thinking about truth. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How about this one? I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts for your good and not for evil. How about this one? The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. How about seek ye first? How about, let's back up. Back up. Meditate. Take no thought for your life, what you'll wear, what you'll drink, what you're going to, the clothing. Or he says, all of these things the Gentiles seek after. Consider the lily. Consider the birds. If your Father takes care of them, shall he not also provide for you? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now see, if you do that and you start thinking on things that are true. Now in that case, I used finances. Let's pick another one. Been there too. Go to the doctor for a little checkup, have a little mole that looks funny. You think you're going to go in to have a nice little deal. We're going to take this mole off. You're going to be fine. You're only 41 or 42. And when they come out, they do their biopsy thing, and they come back, and they're saying, we give you 6 months to live. We suggest you give your affairs in order. You got melanoma cancer. I say, God, you see my problem? I got this true report. Look, God, I've got it in writing. My problem is I'm meditating on the truth. Paul said, think on things that are true. Here it is, God, I got it. Look at this. It's by doctor, 6 months. And here we go again. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Now, if I start getting on the internet to, what is it, WebMD? And I start finding I'm going to spend the next hours getting more and more facts about melanoma cancer. Pretty soon it's going to be all through my whole body. Well, in my mind I'm talking. Yeah, I had a pain in my elbow the other day. Now I'm sure I've got melanoma in my elbow. I don't even know if it can be in your elbow, but I think I got it. And I don't know, maybe it spread to my whole family. The whole family may have melanoma for all I know. You know, I mean, what I'm saying is you meditate on that, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're meditating on what the world calls truth, but it's really just facts. If you're going to have peace that passes all understanding and be able to make melody in your heart and give thanks to the Lord in the midst of that thing, let's start letting some truth come up. Now, what does the truth say? Father, thy word is truth. What does the word say? By his stripes, I was healed. I like this one because I like bread and water. Thou wilt bless my bread, bless my water, and you will remove sickness away from the midst of me. That's a good one. How about himself? Bore my sicknesses, carried my pains. The picture there is like the scapegoat from the Old Testament. The priest would lay his hands upon that goat. Everything, all the sins of the people and everything they deserved, it went on that goat instead. And the goat went out into the wilderness and perished. When he left this earth, he took the fullness of the curse. He carried our sickness and carried our pains away. We don't have to have them anymore. Now you start meditating on that, think on that which is true. That's what's true. It won't be very long. You're going to enter again into that peace that passes all understanding. And people will think you're weird. And shouldn't you be worried? And why aren't you arranging your funeral plot? And why aren't you this and why aren't you that? And you'd just be saying, I'm just singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. I used to be able to do the whole thing. On my way to heaven, shouting victory. Pretty soon, and you're going, don't you have the same report today that you had yesterday? Yes, but I've been thinking on that which is true. And that which is honest. That which is of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, I'm thinking on those things. And it causes my whole perception of reality. I'm not in deception like Wally Cox. I'm finally a believer who is in reception of the truth. The real truth of God. God's word is truth. Cancer's just a fact. And if we read all of Ephesians, what does it say about it? He has seated us far above every name that is named with Christ. In his name, do we have dominion over cancer or not? Well, now the thing about that verse, this passage here, does give precise instructions. Can you see how this would be more detailed instructions? How to get to the place where no matter what's going on, you could be making melody in your heart and singing to the Lord? So let's read the whole thing again now, with the idea being the word of God is what's true. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, I like that one. Whatsoever things are, and I really like this one, whatsoever things are of a good report. Faith always gives a good report. Don't ever forget the 12 spies who went into the promised land. The 10 came back with an evil report. If you'll go back and read it, every statement they said was factual. The giants did live in the land. The son of Anak did live there. They were a warlike people. They did eat up the inhabitants, anyone who would try and come in. Everything they said was factual except the conclusion, which was, we be not able to take the land. That was a lie. But they came to that conclusion because they received facts as truth. They never did possess it either, did they? Not that bunch. Only the two. Only the two that came back with the same facts but gave a good report. Yes, they didn't deny anything. Yeah, giants are there. Yeah, sons of Anak live there. Yeah, they're a warlike people. Yeah, they eat up the inhabitants thereof. Yeah, but God is with us. We are well able to take the land. Let us go up at once and possess it. Hallelujah. That's your healing. That's your prosperity. That's your rebellious children. That's your marriage. That's your ministry. Go and take the land. Hallelujah. Ephesians already says he's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah. He's waiting for us to wake up out of our sleep. Quit walking like dead men. Wake up to who we are. Born again, offspring of the living God. You're not even a human anymore. Not really, you're not. You're an alien from another world. On temporary loan to rescue as many sons of Adam as you can. That's really the only reason we're here. We shouldn't think like the world. We shouldn't perceive truth like the world. We certainly should not be controlled by the world. Sanctify them. We're coming, this generation, I believe with all my heart, and I'm part of it. This generation, I don't care if I did have my 63rd birthday. This generation, and I'm part of it, is going to be a people finally that is sanctified, set apart, different, sanctified by His Word. What do you mean? We're going to flat just believe it. And you know how you really believe it? Well, Let me qualify that just a little. Faith without works is dead. See, and there is a process of knowledge coming about God's word. Have you noticed? Line upon line, precept upon precept. There is the accumulation of knowledge. But the way he said it to me one time, he said, look, it's one thing to be in a state of unbelief because of incomplete knowledge. You're still learning. You haven't learned yet. But he says, if you continue learning, and he's talking about through the word and meditation and praying in the Holy Ghost and listening to Dave and whatever, he says, eventually you'll come to the place where concerning that truth right there, well, you know it. You know what to do now. He says, you know how you reject it, though? It's not by ripping the pages out of your Bible and throwing them away. You reject it by refusing to act on it. And he says, if you reject it by refusing to act on it, it won't be long and you will believe a lie. You will believe a lie. And the thing about this, the next verse says, those things which you have both learned, after he gives them that list, think on these. Do you notice think on these things is not a suggestion? I mean, that's spoken like a command. Think on these things. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and notice and seen in me. In other words, he's not preaching to them something he wasn't living himself. He says, I have to do this same thing. If Paul is writing this letter from prison, he could think on things that are, quote, true. I didn't steal, I didn't rob, I didn't kill anybody. God, all I did, this is the way a lot of Christians, all I've done is obey you, God. I preached your gospel, I was faithful to the end, and look where I am now. Oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here I am in this prison, and my life is over. I don't know how long they're going to keep me here, and all I did was obey God. Oh, give me a break. If anyone had he could have started thinking about, you know, notice that word honest. So many people blame God. It's just not fair how God's treating me. What are you basing that on? They would say truth, but it's really just facts. Facts, that's all. God's word is true. God's word is honest. And I got something else for you. So is God. God and his word are one. See? He said, you've seen this in me. I see it in this letter. All through this letter, rejoice, 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 written from prison. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. So he said, you've seen this in me. Now do it. And the way it reads in the King James, I want to read it. Now let me just read it. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And one day it dawned on me. And if you don't, he won't. If words mean anything. I don't know why I'm so fretful all the time. I try and just, you know, a lot of people just try and cheer up. They've got bad circumstances. Hey, I know what it is to have. You think I'm 63 and haven't been through my share of bad circumstances? I know what it is to go through bad circumstances. And sometimes people say, just cheer up. I'll say, well, you come live where I live right now. It's not so easy. Just, you know, I'm trying to, for benefit of those that can't see me, I'm kind of doing a little cheer for myself here. Come on, Gary, just cheer up. Just happy face. I'm trying to make melody in my heart. What's really going into my heart is, what is that gloom, despair, and agony on me? That's really what's in there. To come to church and during the singing, you know, I'm trying to, I don't have helium hands. I got, you know, I'm looking for a winch somewhere that somebody can get my hands up, you know. Somebody, please. I'm so glad. Jesus set me free. It doesn't happen by self-effort. Humans are not wired that way. You might get away with that for a little while, but after a while, if you stay on that route, you're going to need the Xanax. Or something. I don't even really know exactly what. I've heard people say they take Xanax when they're depressed. Is that right? I don't know. Or whatever it is you take. But Paul's telling you how you do it. You don't just, I want to put on another CD. And the more they worship God, tell about how the goodness of God, you're going, bet they don't live where I live right here. They're not going through what I'm going through. The more the happy they sound, the worse you are. Don't ask me how I know that. I haven't always known these things. No, you got to follow the instructions. He says, look, if you've seen this in me, I see it in this very letter. He's writing these things from prison. It's full of hope and joy and rejoicing and thankfulness. And this whole letter is just rejoicing. And he wrote it from prison. He said, well, you've seen it in me. Here's how you do it. If you'll do what I do, think on that which is true. Think on that which is honest. Virtue, praise, good report. That's what'll cause eventually that peace that passes all understanding to come into your heart and your mind. I like that. Heart and your mind. You know, and only once that peace starts coming, he will never leave me or forsake me. I don't care what man does. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He gave me his only begotten Son, how shall he not also with him freely give me all things? My God, it's in the same book, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. On and on and on. What'll happen is peace comes, and then pretty soon rejoicing comes. And your circumstances did not change. But suddenly now you're in a place where you can begin making melody in your heart to the Lord. The same Paul, I remember when him and Silas were in prison at Philippi. And they hadn't done anything wrong. Cast the devil out of a little demon-possessed girl was all they did. Wound up in the stocks, thrown in, bleeding, their backs bleeding. In prison, and it says at midnight, meaning like the darkest hour. They sang hymns and praises to God, and it says the other prisoners heard them. This was not silent meditation. Singing praises, singing, make it out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, how do you get that in your heart in abundance? Think on these things. If you don't, it's not really going to be there. You're just playing a game. But if you'll think on God's word. Now see, you got to meditate it enough and where it's in you in the good times, so that when you are in the bad times, you don't go say, now where was that confession sheet I used to have? It's in you. It's in you. And if you need the confession sheet, it's better than Xanax. Get it out. But get it in your heart in abundance. And if you do, he plainly says, the God of peace will be with you. And if you don't, you can be a tongue-talking Christian and still need the Xanax. I'm not against that. I'm not trying to make fun now. I'm just trying to make a difference. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right, I'm going a little more. Now, verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, in plain English, that's a little... He's saying, I know you all have always wanted to help me financially. You lacked opportunity because you lost track of where I was. You know, Paul traveled. Well, now they found out again where he... So, okay, he's in Rome, in prison. Okay, we're going to Epaphroditus. Will you take this gift to him? So that's all he's saying here. But now, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want or lack. Now, here we go. For I have learned. Everyone say learned. Paul was not born this way. He had to learn this. I have learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. How did he learn to do that? Could it have been by thinking on that which is true and honest? Pure, lovely, and of a good report, thinking on God's word and all the promises of God, that no matter what his present circumstances are, I'm at peace. I'm content. He has not left me nor forsaken me, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I have learned therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, in other words, go through times where you don't have enough, and I know how to abound. He's lived on both ends of that pendulum. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And here is that famous verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I don't do it so much anymore, but once I saw the truth of this, you know, people quote that verse all the time, and they should. If you're going to quote one, that's a good one to quote. But I used to do a little survey all the time. I'd say, do y'all know what book that's in? Do you know what the context was when Paul said that? Hardly ever, hardly one in 50, maybe, would know. Hardly anybody knew that it had to do with finances. Paul is really saying, if you take the whole thing in context here, he's going, I thank you for the gift. I'm glad that you finally found where I am. I know you always wanted to help me. And I appreciate the gift that you sent, and I'm going to put it to good use, but you need to know something. I have learned the secret of contentment. Whether you send the gift, whether you don't send the gift, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to get this done, whether you send the gift, whether you don't, because I'm on Christ's mission, and He supplies all my need. Boy, now that'll start. If that revelation ever goes off in you, it doesn't matter if you're on where He sent you. And I mean, you're in the middle of a desert with no water and no food, and the sun a beating down, and I mean, it looks absolutely impossible. My God, who knows how to split the rock and bring water forth out of the rock, my God, who knows how to feed Elijah by the ravens, I don't care how He does it, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And suddenly, my heart wants to do a little singing. My heart wants to do a little dancing. All of a sudden, that peace that passes all understanding begins to come into me. And I'm going, you know, I think I can sing and make melody in my heart to the Lord. Why? Because I've been thinking on truth. I haven't been meditating on the facts. I've been thinking about the truth. And the truth is, He loves me. He can't help Himself. He loves me no matter, He knew I was a mess when He saved me. He loved me then, He loves me now. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So let me counsel you. I'm going to close here now. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know how few people really fill their heart with the word? Very few. And you can be full of the word for a while, but I'm finding out the word of God very much is like food. You know, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit, they are life. You need to eat them, you know. And it's like a good steak. I remember, let me think now. Sue and I had a really good steak in Eureka Springs. That was quite a few years ago. I remember I was just stuffed. That was a good steak. It's probably been 10 years. Y'all think I can live on that steak now? Huh? See, if the word of God is like food, give us this day our daily bread. We've had great victories through the word of God. But if Sue could stand here and tell you the truth too, you can neglect the word, not eat it, and you'll start getting spiritually weak. And you'll start thinking like humans think. What I mean is normal humans. You'll start thinking that you're just like them and you're not. You'll start thinking you have no provider and you do. You'll start thinking you have no healer and you do. You start thinking you have no guide through life, but you do. Give us this day our daily bread. Eat His word to the point where you're full. Then it's not so hard to think on that which is true, honest, pure, have a good report. And we'll continue to sing and make melody in our heart. When the Lord, I want the Lord, when he looks at my heart, I want there to be melodies playing there. Singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. Amen? You with me on that? How many are you going to eat his word a little more? I think we need to increase our diet. Increase our diet of the word, you know. Hallelujah.